Hey, everybody, this is Rich Wilson, and it is now Wednesday evening. Last night, the great Tim McCloud and I actually did a podcast. It was a special podcast because we were trying to get Tim moved into the 21st century. He is now hopefully going digital through an old cranky computer at his home studio. So no longer will we have phones. So in theory, it should sound a lot better. But again, as I said, he's got his old cranky computer, so hopefully, fingers crossed, come Sunday, we're going to have kind of a whole new sound, and it will sound hopefully good, better than it's ever sounded. I actually spent some time with the Blog Talk Radios. In fact, the great Pod Vader, who used to work for ESPN, I think he was the producer for the Fantasy Focus and a bunch of other podcasts, actually turns out to be a really helpful chap. And he and I talked a lot about life in the universe and podcasting. He's got a lot more experience at it than I do. Gave us a lot of tips and really helped us out in terms of getting everything set up. And one of the things he suggested is to go more frequent with our podcast, which is tough for me because many of you know who have been longtime listeners that I travel a lot and have a very demanding work schedule. But I have committed to every Wednesday evening, hopefully, just a very short 15 to 30 minute podcast just to kind of give everybody what's happened over the last or the first couple of days of the week. Sometimes I'll bring in Tim. Sometimes I'll bring in others. Sometimes it'll just be me. And just doing a very brief podcast to kind of provide some intermediate content for everybody before the big show on Sunday. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that and find it useful. What follows is our podcast that's been edited down. I almost kept the first 30 minutes as I was trying to get Tim, helping Tim walk through the steps of setting everything up. It was hysterical. We had a couple people in the chat room, and maybe one day they will share their feelings of how exactly it was. It was very, very funny. But as you'll hear, hopefully pretty much sounds better. We did have a little bit of breakup at the end of the show, but in general, it sounds good. Enjoy, guys, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Oh, man, I love Dudley.
But you know what? He could at least, put the Dudley Do-Right theme or something, eh?
And Dudley Do-Right gets shot. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson, and you're hearing the great Tim McCloud. Oh, Tim McCloud is coming through all digital tonight. We've had so many problems over the last couple of weeks. We've now moved Tim into the 21st century. Tim, you have a headset on with, you said, two speakers on the side of your ears. Explain or describe what's going on in your home studio.
Well, hey, I tell you, Rich, I have to thank you because it's your technical prowess, okay, that has got me to this stage in my life. And I'm beaming with pride. When I heard Dudley come on, I stood up, put my hand over my heart, okay? I'm good for the rest of the week. Awesome intro. Thank you so much.
There you go. Guys, we're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking fantasy baseball, talking whatever we want to talk about, but it is Tuesday night. We're doing a test little pod just to make sure it all sounds okay. We're going to have to edit it down because the first half hour we've been on the air for 30 minutes trying to get that sorted out. I think we have it sorted out now, so I'm going to try something new, Tim, as well, and that's also to download the show, remix it, recut it, and then publish it out sometime tomorrow, so that should be fun as well.
Yeah, it sounds like a hoot. I'm glad you're doing all that, Rich, and not leaving it in my trusty hands and technical. You don't need any further demonstrations of my technical prowess this evening, I don't think.
I think we're good with that. So, Tim, I did spend about a half hour today with the infamous Pod Vader. Pod Vader now is, I guess, a big shot at Blog Talk Radio coming over from ESPN. He said he was the producer of all the Matthew Berry shows, and he was the one that won the podcast award, beat us out. But guess how many downloads he says he gets that they get off of that Fantasy Focus football show?
How many downloads in season? I'll say
I'm gonna say
30,
no, one week. Not one, for one episode, Tim.
35,000, 40,000.
35,000, 40,000. Just as a comparison, we last just on yesterday we got 10,000 downloads in one single day, and we'll probably do for last or for yesterday Sunday show probably 18,000-19,000 for the fantasy focused football show. Tim, are you ready?
I'm sitting down.
They get 500,000 downloads per episode.
Oh, it's a good thing I'm sitting down, because I probably would have fallen over had I been standing, Rich.
So we got some,
an episode.
We got some work to do, Timmy. I mean, that just completely blows me away. I should have asked him what the baseball does. It's got to be something way less than that. But football is extremely popular, so they beat us out, Tim, and our 15,000-20,000, which I was really proud of until I heard that number. We got some work to do next year.
And that you're playing fantasy baseball in its entirety, Rich.
Yeah, but he, you know, we had a great conversation. He gave me some tips, and one of the tips he gave me, and I'm going to implement it, is he thinks, because he thinks also our show was so good, he thinks we need to do at least one midweek mini podcast. Well, we talked about a podcast, and I said, I can't, because I work, I can't do it, I travel all the time. So I'm going to try to just do a 15 to 30 minute update per week. Some weeks I'll do it with you, Tim. Some weeks I'll just go solo and just kind of give an update on injuries that have happened, probably answer some emails that come over Prospect 361 or Twitter accounts. And because I don't want to burn you with yet another show, but sometimes we'll have you on, sometimes we'll not. So that's just to kind of add some more continuity to the show. I know everybody's been asking for it, so I'm going to try it and see what happens.
Okay, no, it sounds good. And you know, Rich, I don't mind stepping in the middle of the week. As long as I'm not on the road, if it's just a short show, that's not a problem at all. Not a problem.
It's going to be 15 to 30 minutes. That's it, Tim. Mm-hmm. We'll give it a shot. Probably we'll figure our schedules out, but try to do it probably midweek, like a Wednesday or Thursday type of thing. And so I thought maybe this is like a trial run, and it's because I'm telling you, it's only Tuesday, Tim, and there's been a plethora of injuries. I got Homer Bailey and Brandon McCarthy both with torn UCLs. And Tim, I have to tell you, I own neither one of those guys, but was totally bummed when I heard that.
Yeah, that's terrible news, Rich. It's been one of those years. You know, McCarthy struggled with health in the past, but it looked like he had that behind him this year. And, you know, I'm just looking at the updates because I haven't looked at anything baseball all day. And, yeah, those two are both shockers. And, what, Tanaka's on the DL today?
Yep.
Moreland's having surgery. I assume that's Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch Moreland. So let's talk about Tanaka. He tendonitis in his wrist, Tim. So it's actually not his elbow. But I saw an interview with Brian Cashman the day. He goes, they don't know what it is. It's just his elbow hurts, and they put him on the DL and hope in 10 days he goes to throwing again. So, Tim, it's not going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be a little longer than that. So I guess best case scenario is probably like a 3 weeks absence, which isn't good.
No, definitely not. We said going back into the spring that, and pretty well everybody else as well, that it was a ticking time bomb, and maybe this is the fuse being lit, Rich.
Yeah, it could be, Tim. It could be. I'm just deeply concerned. I never thought this was going to end well, and I still don't think it's going to end well. But let's go back to Homer Bailey. If you've read the wires, it looks like Michael Lorenzen, who I've always been kind of a big fan of, Tim. In college, he was actually the closer. I can't remember where he went to college. And they called him up, and he's going to make the start tomorrow. It's got pretty good stuff. In short stints, he's got even better stuff, a little funky delivery. But he's a guy that if he does well tomorrow, I think you could see him get that rotational spot above Robert Stevenson, who continues to struggle. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Michael Lorenzen, but kind of an interesting potential pickup there.
Yeah, no, I don't have any thoughts. I don't know enough about him, Rich. I'm going to have to do some reading, obviously. The guy that I was hoping would get the call is Iglesias, but obviously the Reds don't feel at this point in time that he's ready and needs a little bit more work and developing that strength down on the farm. Was there any message, anything at all on Iglesias? Any comments that you saw?
No, I didn't. And Iglesias has been a little, I guess, up and down, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. So he's a little bit inconsistent. So I think Lorenzen's had a pretty good start to the year. He's also been a little inconsistent, but I guess the brass in Cincinnati think he's ready. And yeah, they really took, it was 2 years ago they drafted him, they really took a flyer converting him from what looked like he would come in as a closer. But I guess with Chapman, they said, hey, let's make this guy a starter. The thing I worry about, Tim, is out in Los Angeles with Rue already down and McCarthy now down. I mean, they started Scott Baker. I mean, this is a $250 million payroll. Scott Baker's your number four pitcher. And I don't know who they put in as their number five pitcher, Tim.
Well, their number five pitcher has obviously got to be, oh, what's the kid's name? Oh, starts with a B.
Starts with a B. Oh. Is he up? Is he up in the major leagues?
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'll find his name. The two that intrigued me there were obviously Zach Lee and Mr. Weiland, Joe Weiland. Both of those pitchers are off to a good start, and I was sort of hoping to see one of the two of them called up. But
I was a huge maybe it's Zach a little Lee. Early. I was a huge Zach Lee fan when he got drafted, but I mean his stuff has really never totally developed, and he is, and now he is, you know, just an okay pitcher. I got according to Roto World, which is what I'm using as the depth chart, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Rue and McCarthy are gone. Brett Anderson is number three. So I mean Scott Baker's your number four. Brandon Beachy hasn't come back yet. That's all they have listed, Tim.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. I guess.
Juan Nicasio's out there.
Oh, okay.
Bolzinger. That's who. Mike Bolzinger is who the great doctor in the interactive chat room has told us. So he's no
there.
Good,
we go.
But he's no good. What about? No, wouldn't it be cool for them? Wouldn't it be cool for them to bring up Urias?
It would be cool. cool and cruel are very, very close to the same, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's 19, Tim, but man, I've seen the guy pitch. He's got good stuff, and he was dominant in his last outing again. I mean, it's sometimes desperate time for desperate measures, and they don't have anybody, Tim, and it begs the question, will they try to trade for Cole Hamels?
Well, yeah, you know, when you look at their bullpen, you know, you got Peralta and League are one's short term, the other's long, but it's right shoulder soreness with Peralta. That doesn't help. They got Chris Hatcher. They got Howell. There's a lot of names there. You, Garcia, who I think has potential short term. But yeah, if they could do something along the lines of a Papelbon Hamels deal, that would definitely fill in a few blanks, wouldn't it?
Yeah, John Heyman wrote a really great article tonight that's basically saying, okay, everybody's getting hurt. Now we're RJA, Ruben J. Amaro, will he make the move? And he said that he wants one of Jock Peterson, Julio Urias, or Corey Seager as the lead dog at the trade for the Dodgers. And you know they're not going to move Corey Seager. So that leaves Urias as a potential move for Cole Hamels and probably a bunch of other guys on top of that. So I don't know, Tim. I don't know if they'll get it done, but you figure the Dodgers have too much vested in that team. You feel like that Friedman's got to do something.
Well, yeah, you would think so. But then Friedman comes from a small market club. Has he got his head wrapped around the fact that he's no longer in Tampa Bay? Is that a fair question to ask?
I think it's a very fair question to ask him, and I think only time will tell. Also, I don't know if you saw the stat line of young A.J. Cole that got called up just to, you know, spot start to fill in for Max Scherzer. Two innings pitched, 10, Tim, 9 earned runs. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm looking at that game right now because the first thing that caught my attention was 13-12, okay? Well, I had Tehran going tonight, okay? And whenever I see a line 13 to 12, my first thought is, I got problems. But Tehran didn't pitch bad. As a consolation note, I also own Jason Grilly, who got totally smoked. So my elation that Tehran didn't pitch all that bad changed very, very quickly to remorse as soon as I saw Jason Grilly's line. That's an ugly evening, isn't it, all the way around?
It sure is, Tim. And it was, and also just talking about fill-in starters, Rafael Montero got his start, and again, another spot start. He pitched really, really well, Tim. I was watching the game, and he got into late in the sixth inning and gave up a base hit. Another base hit, guy scored a run, and then a dink and a dunk, and he gave up two runs. He got taken out, a wild pitch. The reliever threw a wild pitch, and the third run scored. But he pitched really, really well. I think it was six strikeouts, one walk. But he got pushed back down. But I really like what the Mets are doing, and that is going to temporary six-man rotations to give Matt Harvey space out his starts a little bit more, which I think is really, really smart.
Well, yeah, and I think their concern there as well also lies with young Jacob DeGrom. He's already had one Tommy John. If they can go a little bit easier on the workload with DeGrom and Harvey, definitely that bodes well for New York. As you know, as you get into the dog days of summer and that stretch run, I think it's a very smart move. And I actually had Montero going in about three leagues tonight, so I'm very happy with those results. Very happy.
Yeah, again, it was disappointing, those cheap three runs he gave up, and it really, really was disappointing because he pitched really well, just tired a little bit because he was being stretched out and only pitched 2 2/3 innings and then four innings, and then they pushed him probably one inning too long. I think he would have got out in the fifth inning and had a really, really clean outing, but oh well, life goes on. So Tim, we're talking about the Mets. I have to tell you about my Monday.
Okay.
So I agonize, am I going to start Jimmy Nelson or Dylan G? And those are my two choices. So I said, you know, Jimmy Nelson, huge upside. He's been pitching really well. Mm-hmm. So I started Jimmy Nelson. Of course, Dylan G is G. You know, you're usually not going to get a blow up, but you're not going to get a great outing. And so what happened? Dylan G, 7 2/3, six hits, three Ks, no walks. He didn't get the win. He should have gotten the win, but he didn't get the win. What did Nelson do? 2 1/3 innings, 7 runs, 5 walks. what am I doing wrong, Tim?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person because all of my teams are sucking right now, Rich. So, you know, the batteries obviously need replacing, okay, on my Magic 8 ball because it's getting desperate times for desperate measures. I got... And then I'm just looking here. Minnesota, how does Minnesota allow Detroit only two runs? Who is
pitching? I don't know who they had pitching.
Oh, man. No.
Yeah.
If I didn't buy Scott Baker, I'd probably invest in him.
Really? I don't know about that. Tim, let's, two more injuries I want to talk about, then we'll scoot off the air here. I don't know if you heard Jet Lurie has some kind of thumb injury, and he's got to have surgery on it, so he's out for a while. And maybe they'll call up Carlos Correa. Nope, they went with Jonathan VR. Are you interested in Jonathan VR at all?
I'm surprised that Houston's interested in Jonathan VR after the way he's been treated the past year. I think that's a stopgap measure. Have you been following how Correa is doing down on the farm?
Absolutely, Tim. He is batting well. His OPS is 1.175, I believe. He is. I'm going to bring up his stat line now. So he is. He's doing remarkably well. What are you doing over there, Tim? Okay. I'm hearing a lot of noise, Tim. What's happening?
Well, I'm having some snap, crackle, pop issues right now, and there's no Rice Krispies in sight. So I'm just moving a couple cords around here. And how's that? Does it still sound okay?
Yeah, it still sounds fine. I mean, the snap crackle is probably just some, you know, some bandwidth issues that you've got going on. I don't know why I can't. Why I can't find Carlos Correa. I usually have his stat line up at all times, but I'm pretty sure, Tim, it's a slugging percentage of 775. Okay, here it is. He's slugging 735, an OPS of 1.175, four home runs, two stolen bases, 66 at bats, 15 strikeouts, six walks, batting 382. Again, he's only got 68 at bats above high A, but Tim, why not? I mean, the Astros are playing really well.
Well, yeah, it's and how long's okay? Ligament tear was until after the All-Star break, huh? When does he? What is it? Mid June is the magic. The next magic day we're looking at, Rich, pretty well.
Yeah, but teams are, besides the Pittsburgh Pirates, I mean, they're pretty much just, and even they did with George Springer, they're just trying to get that extra year of control. And I mean, right. I know they're saying cheap. Carlos Correa is probably not ready. He might not be, but Tim, this is an exceptional talent.
Well, yeah, when you look at the numbers he's posting, exceptional talent for sure. And let's face it, between VR and Marwin robbing you, Darvish, with a cheap single.
Gonzalez, yeah.
Gonzalez. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to give Correa another 2, 3, 4 weeks because I don't think the two of them are going to do what Houston needs. And if Houston can sustain what they've done so far, they might need Correa in another 2 to 3 weeks. I don't think I totally rule that one out of the equation.
Because Jed Lurie's been playing great. I mean, he and Jose Altuve up at the top of the lineup and setting the table, and everybody else is striking out, Tim. So, it would be dumb to do that, but it wouldn't be crazy to promote Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Lowry right now, and do you realize in his past seven games, two strikeouts, seven walks. Isn't that amazing?
Somebody tweeted at me, we've been talking about shortstops a lot, why not talk about Jed Lurie in terms of what he's doing? And that's when I looked it up, and I'm like, wow. And I wanted to bring it up last week and just didn't do it. But yeah, he's been great. And he's a leader on the field, blah, 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 all that kind of good stuff. But the problem is, Tim, they have nobody else that can get on base. And Jonathan Villar strikes out a ton, too. I don't get it.
No, I think we might see a change in philosophies in Houston, unless VR gets out there and tears it up. Haha.
Yeah, I think we're good here, Tim. I think it's good. I want to ask you one more baseball question because of two closer issues coming up here. Brett Cecil got the save tonight in Toronto, and Adam Ottavino, he's calling arm problems as well. So what are your thoughts there? I mean, is it John Axford? I mean, obviously the pickup there, but do you really think Brett Cecil is going to get the job in Toronto?
Well, I think he's got the job by default. Does he hold the job? I'm not really betting on it. I think his velocity is still down. But I think he's got the job totally by default. I think at some point in time they will look to turn it back. They just simply can't. This throat looks totally lost. Very shocking because it's a massive turnaround from what we saw earlier in the year.
Okay, yeah, I agree. So Tim, let me ask a technical question. What were you doing during that? Answer, were you typing or anything, or were you bringing up any kind of website or anything like that?
The only thing I was doing was scrolling over the, I'm on CBS looking at the box score for the Jays game tonight just to see how Cecil did.
Yeah, I mean, it was, because definitely you lost bandwidth because you started going in and out. So you're using up a lot of bandwidth going digital, you need to be careful in terms of how much goofing around you do on your computer while we're talking, just FYI. So again, you might want to have your laptop there.
Okay.
Do that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. So just keep the windows down to a dull roar and.
I would. So I would. Because Sunday nights are actually worse, right? Because prime time when a lot of people are on, so we'll have to be careful with that. Anyway, Okay. I think we can muddle through this on Sunday. I'm sure we'll tweak some things along the way, but I think we'll be okay.
Okay, yeah, no, it sounds good. I'm just looking at Clay Buchholz. Oh man, not good.
I tweeted out today, I'm sorry, I was wrong. So I'm done. Mea culpa. I've done the mea culpa on it. I've screwed up here. So.
Robert, I'm just looking at the chat room. Yeah, Tim going in and out.
And he says now it's better. So again, when you were doing the closer stuff, you were really, really spotty. So, but again, that usually is just lack of bandwidth, and it starts to cut in and out. So that's usually somebody else in your connection coming to your house was using up the bandwidth. So anyway, so that's just watch what you're doing on the computer. So.
Okay, so Sunday night, I'll just shut everything down except for the chat room and leave it at that.
Or we just, you know, we'll just do what we can, guy. We'll do what we can. So,
okay. Podcast is done. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Yeah, I said it for an hour, Tim. So we've been at this for a little over an hour. So how'd the hockey thing go?
Good. We had a great turnout tonight. The building is licensed for 1,100, and it was fairly full. We had somewhere around 1,000 people for tonight's game, which is, you know, for a community with a population of 8,500, that's a pretty fair turnout percentage-wise. We won it in overtime, 2-1. I missed the end. I dashed out with a minute left, and they were tied 1-1. But it was a good game. It really was. A lot of people left very happy, I would have to imagine.
Well, Tim, I'm thank you so much for joining, but I'm sorry you missed the end of the game. We could have done it another night, but I appreciate you working with me on this.
Well, the bottom line is I wanted to get this thing resolved. And, you know, when I thought I had lots of time this evening, and then, hey, well, of course they didn't cooperate. But the key for me, I just want to get this thing up and running, because after last week and the old let's count down the 15-minute game, it was almost testing my patience. And as a very patient Canadian, we don't want to go there anymore, do we?
I agree with you, Tim. But thanks so much. I will try to edit this over the next couple of days and get her out. So anyway, we'll see you on Sunday, my friend.
Okay. Have a great weekend. Thanks for all your help, Rich. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Be well, Tim.
Okay. Bye.
See the bright light coming.